Busted appliance? This is your sign to upgrade. Shop at Lowe's to get up to 35% off and next day delivery on hundreds of major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 3/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Order by 4 p.m. Available Monday through Saturday. Subject to availability. Fees, exclusions, and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/appliance delivery for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that one in four honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Today on The Grave Talks, the Jericho Haunted Trinity. A conversation with Steve and Kayla Gregory. Nestled on the eastern side of Lake Winnebago in Wisconsin, the tiny town of Jericho may seem quiet and quaint, but it hides a dark secret behind the towering steeple of its abandoned Holy Trinity Catholic Church. Since its closure decades ago, the church and its neighboring convent and school have become infamous for their paranormal activity. Known now as Jericho Haunted Trinity, the property has attracted ghost hunters from all over, eager to investigate its chilling mysteries. From ghostly footsteps in the church's sanctuary to disembodied voices and eerie lights in the night, Jericho's haunted trio of buildings are a hotspot for the unexplained. Today we delve into the ghostly happenings at Jericho Haunted Trinity and explore what may lie behind the haunting footsteps and flickering lights. Today on The Grave Talks, a look inside one of Wisconsin's most compelling supernatural destinations with Kayla and Steve Gregory. So, Kayla and Steve, thank you so much for joining me to talk about the Jericho Haunted Trinity. I've done a little dive into it and I'm fascinated. So, you guys are actually with a paranormal group that does investigations there as well as doing renovations on the property?
That is correct. That's our paranormal group, Warhorse Paranormal.
And how long have you been with that group? Is it one that you started or one that you joined?
This is one we actually created after leaving our previous team. Just different. We wanted to go a different route. And this is comprised of a bunch of old team members, actually, that we coalesced. Awesome. We investigate great. And we just wanted to get together and we're doing it for the fun again, you know, just to enjoy what we do and try to find those answers.
Now, Kayla and Steve, I'm going to assume that you are doing this together. You have the same last name. I assume you're married.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. She actually got me into this.
I was wondering who got the other one interested in it. So, Kayla, you were already interested in the paranormal when you guys got together?
Yes. I've been into it my whole entire life. I grew up in a haunted house. So I used to like get to the top of the stairs, and there were two closets at the top of the stairs, and one of them I'd have to just run by because I would see a man in there smoking a cigarette, and nobody in my family smoked cigarettes, so I knew that it was somebody that wasn't there but was there. I had those experiences as a child, and then just became obsessed as the show Ghost Hunters came out and saw, oh my gosh, people actually do this stuff. And I finally got Steve on board. Now we do it together.
She talked me into buying a ticket for a paranormal investigation at Summerwind. And that was her birthday present that year. So I said, okay, I'll take you on it, and I will show you how these people are screwing with you, and I'll teach you how they are deceiving you in any which way, shape, or form. Yep. Now here I am, the skeptic still, but there's enough things that have happened in my life now in this field that just screams, okay, it's still an experience. So it has to go to a pile. I just can't explain these experiences yet.
Do you still consider yourself a skeptic?
A reformed skeptic, I guess. I am still probably the most skeptical on the team. I will look for every possible alternative scenario as to how something happened or heard something. There's been enough things that we've encountered that I cannot explain whatsoever. And I have to result to the fact that it is a paranormal experience.
Do you remember the first time that something happened that you really couldn't explain that kind of made you think, maybe Kayla's kind of right and there's something to this?
Yeah, Kayla was there. I was at the Sheboygan Asylum. I was unscrewing a light bulb on the second floor after we were leading a tour. And I know there was nobody on that floor because I had just cleared that floor. And I was unscrewing light bulbs, standing on a chair, clear as day. I can still hear it. Soft-soled shoes running on the linoleum and the swooshing of pant legs, like as they touched each other as it was running towards me. And I made it up two flights of stairs and three steps and slammed into the wall upstairs. And I didn't really talk about what happened right away. It was in denial.
And I get that because when I was a kid in the house we lived in, I would hear footsteps frequently. And I always found it terrifying. And I'm interested with Kayla growing up in kind of a similar situation as me. I'm drawn to the paranormal. I love talking about it. I just scare very easily to this day, so I don't like investigating it. But Kayla, do you ever find yourself kind of scared, you know, going back to that little girl?
No, I always actually tell people all the time that Steve will run out long before I will. but what is really different for me, and we really haven't found an answer nor an explanation to it, is I'm more apt to see them and be able to communicate with them on a more direct level, almost like a channeling. Like I don't like see them like standing directly in front of me, but if I close my eyes, it's almost like they're playing it through my head. It's weird, but I've been having like those types of experiences with it. So to me, it's always felt kind of natural. The times I do scare is like if they're trying to get my attention. Like we have four kids and we have one child who seems to like to bring them home. And all of a sudden I'll be walking past an open door and there will be a person standing in that doorway and it'll just catch me off guard because it's not somebody from my house.
Right.
So I think that's the only time. And then it's a jump scare more than anything. Yeah. And then I'm okay with it.
Do you think that your child also has the abilities that you have then? Or does your child even understand what you're seeing?
I think that he started he was only five when we started taking our kids out ghost hunting across the United States. So our kids have been all over the United States to many locations ghost hunting. They're actually the junior members, are our junior investigators on our team. So I don't think initially he really thought anything of it. And that's when he would do it more often, because I don't think he realized that by inviting his friends over to the house, he was doing anything, you know, abnormal.
Oh, yeah.
He has shied away from it as he has been aging. So I'm hoping that we can still continue to cultivate it within him. But at the same time, I think everyone's born with some type of ability. And then it kind of just depends what the world does to your brain from there on whether or not you hang on to any of it. Because I know for me, it has been there was like a slow patch in there where I wasn't seeing, feeling, hearing as much. But then you have to recultivate it. So I'm hoping that we can do that for him.
And I think with a good investigative team, you need someone like you, Kayla, but you also need someone like Steve to kind of balance it out. So when you put the team, you know, kind of got the team back together, people you want on it, did you look for some diversity in the team and who you wanted? And sometimes it might even be something as simple as drama. Somebody just brings too much drama. So was it hard to find the right people to investigate with again?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, Steve and I sat down when we finally decided that we were going to do this. We had a couple of friends who we had been on a team with before who were also kind of talking about it. So when we made our decisions on who was going to bring what to the table. We didn't want anything that was going to be overlapping. So like, we needed the different skill sets. Like Steve is our skeptic. And then we have our friend DJ, who can reverse engineer almost any piece of equipment. His mind just works in a way like none of ours ever could. We have Drew, who we recently found out, I always knew he liked using the more basic equipment, but he also has an empath sense to him, and he gets a lot more of the feels. And then Kara and Joe are both Reiki masters, and they both really work on that connection between them and the spiritual world. So we have our science and our thinkers and our people who do all of that and bring in that healthy dose of skepticism. But then we also have the other half of the team that's more like our spirited people, I guess would be the best way to put it. And then we have our one member, Travis, who just, I don't know, I just feel like he just brings the best of both worlds to the table. And he's definitely our funny guy who brings the entertainment to the investigation. Like he talks to people like people, regardless if they're dead or alive. So he's our people person.
It sounds like a really balanced team.
We always said when we wanted to do this, we said, we're not just adding people just to add people, mm-hmm. just to have a big team or have something like that. We wanted a close-knit family is how we see our team. You know, there's no team founder. There's no team leader. There's no positions. We are all equal and we are all equally important. So that's how we look at this whole endeavor, and everyone has the same say. You know, if we go out on an investigation, everyone's welcome. You know, nobody's more important than the other. So that really plays well amongst everyone. And we all have kids. We're all family people. Mm. You know, we bring them with.
How did you get involved with the Jericho Haunted Trinity?
We met Joel, who owns it.
Okay.
And Steve formed a weird friendship. That's how I'm going to describe. They got a weird friendship of inappropriate jokes and big dreams. We really focused on that friendship with him. And that's kind of how we had resulted in us kind of running it. But we also came to the table with whatever money we're making, we're plugging right back into renovations on the buildings.
Because it is multiple buildings. Before I go diving into the Haunted Trinity, I want to talk to you a little bit about the area, because I thought Jericho was an interesting name for a town, because it felt very, you know, obviously religious to me.
Oddly, that's actually probably hundreds of years later is when Jericho was actually became Jericho. It was actually the Brothertown Indian tribe. It was their Indian reservation. I've actually got to hold the treaty that was signed by Andrew Jackson, giving them the land as the treaty.
That's incredible.
And it was considered sacred land all the way back then. It's on the highest point in the Holy Land. That's when the German settlers, eventually 1870s type time frame, they rolled in and they came down. And when I say fresh off the boat German immigrants, they came down the St. Lawrence, through the Great Lakes, into Green Bay, down the Fox, and into Lake Winnebago. And as they sailed down Winnebago, they looked up the ridge, up the ledge, and they could see the highest point. So they crossed through Brothertown and went right up to the top of the hill, and that's where they established Jericho.
Interesting, because I thought it was just fascinating to be talking about a haunted, it's more than just a church. There are multiple buildings there. But then when I dug into the area to find out it was referred to as a Holy Land and still is, which I found fascinating.
Yeah, it's the Holy Land. Yep. And it's because everything out there is named after the Holy, Holy something. There's Mount Calvary, St. Cloud, St. Peter, St. Anne, Johnsburg. Then there's also Eden, which isn't too far out of it. So everything out in this area is very, very stooped in religion.
And is it all pretty much the Roman Catholics who moved here and established Catholic churches? That makes sense, because all the names you just said feel very Catholic.
Now it is. The odd thing with Jericho, and this is one thing that still doesn't make a whole lot of sense, the original 10 acres was gifted by a widowed Protestant woman. So now you have a landowner, woman, Protestant, in the middle of this area. That's already just kind of outside the norm. She donated that land with the one stipulation that within 5 years, a Catholic church must be built on it. And within the first year and a half, Jericho came together and they had that church built by hand.
What is it about her wanting it to be a Catholic church? That's so interesting. You think she'd want a nice Protestant church in the middle of all those Catholic churches?
Right. And there's no reason for it whatsoever.
And there are a number of these very large Catholic churches in the area then, isn't there?
Yeah, actually, both Steve and I were raised Catholic. We're both from the area. Steve went to the largest Catholic school in the area. Yeah, the largest Catholic school in the area he graduated from. And so this whole area is just packed tight with Roman Catholics and very, very actively participating Roman Catholics. So, I mean, when you're driving out in the Holy Land, you can't go more than maybe 4 or 5 miles without seeing a huge cathedral. The biggest one being in, what is that one? Marytown. Marytown has a giant cathedral up on a hill out there. Again, all along what we call in Wisconsin, the ledge.
And what is it about the ledge? What does that actually, what kind of area is that?
It's a natural geological fault line that runs all the way to Niagara Falls, and Niagara Falls falls off of it, and it runs all the way to the Rockies. It's also made of quartz limestone. It's one of the largest quartz limestone deposits in the world.
And that's interesting, too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to the Jericho Church, the Trinity there. When was this built?
The current iteration or the very first?
Okay, let's talk about the first one then, because I didn't know there was a first one. So let's go back.
Okay.
So the very first one after the land was donated, I believe was 1871, was when they built the first wood frame church. 1881, they grew out of that church. Actually, it would probably been like 1879, 1880. They grew out of that original church and built a second church next to it. The first church then became the original school. The second church burned in 1903, I think it was. And in 1905, they had built the third iteration, which is the one that still stands today. It's actually still got the original brickwork. Then they built the school. It's a four-room schoolhouse with a cafeteria in the basement, like a little kitchen, and then your mechanical room. And the convent was then built right around the same time as the school, because that's where they housed the nuns for the school. That was
1935. Yep, 1935.
Was it 15 for the school?
Yep.
Yeah, 1915 for the school, 35 for the convent. That's when they erected, that when they built, I think it was when they did the brickwork for the new church.
Yep. Something like that. Yeah.
So
yeah, all the brick matches.
Yep. And the second church burned by a mysterious agricultural fire. They say a barn fire from several miles away. It was a spark that somehow floated down and lit the church on fire. Oh. I still can't find that fire in the records, but I'm sure it happened, because the people in Jericho, actually, before that church was even put out, they were already back inside the footings trying to pull out the field stone, the brick, everything that they could still salvage from that to start the third church.
And that's a short amount of time to have to build three churches. And that is such a suspicious way a fire would mm-hmm. start, too. One little ember travels and just happens to land right there.
Right.
I also find it interesting, because living in Kansas and we have some large churches in the middle of nowhere that you see coming forever, you know, that's a lot to build in a very small town. You know, did they have the congregation? I'm assuming everyone was Catholic, but they had a large enough population to have a decent sized congregation.
Well, when you think about Jericho, it is a single intersection out in the middle of the country. But that church then would, their congregation would stretch the 6 miles north up to Chilton, and then Chilton would have their own congregation. And then that was about 10 miles to the east to get over to New Holstein, which is over there, and they'd have their own congregation. And then you have probably about 5 miles south to the next one, but then everything west to the lake shore. There were no churches west to the lake shore. So you could have, I mean, currently there's probably in that space well over 1500 for the population in that square mileage. And most of the farms and the homesteads and houses and the population that is still there today are descendants of who were there at that point in time. We have one of the plat maps from back in the early 1900s, and those same last names on that map are the same last names that are still currently there today. So when we say that that was just the heartbeat of the community, I mean, that specific space was from baptism to funeral. You experienced your whole life there.
Now, how long did it operate as a working church before it closed its doors?
2005, it closed as a church. They sold the convent and the school. The school closed in 70, and the convent, I want to say, was used as administration up through the 80s.
And so eventually everything just emptied. And then you've got how many buildings are sitting there? Because it's referred to as the Jericho Haunted Trinity. So you've got the church,
correct,
the school, and what other buildings?
The Trinity actually falls to the
their congregation.
Yeah, it's
name.
The congregation. Their parish.
Okay.
The parish name. That's it. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. That makes sense.
Chilton actually is Holy Trinity yet.
Yeah, it's Holy Trinity Catholic Church. So we became Jericho Haunted Trinity, which played into the three buildings that we offer investigation in, which would be the church, the convent, and the school. But it also plays to the fact that it was the Holy Trinity Catholic Church while it was an operating Catholic church.
So when did your friends purchase the property?
Gosh, he's had it.
I think he's had the school for 15 years.
Yeah, he's
school
had it
and
for,
convent.
Yeah, for about 15 years now he's had it.
And he got the church in, what is it, 06, 07, when the Catholic diocese sold it.
So he's had this for a long time.
Yep, he calls it his playground.
So by playground, what does he like to do? Yeah. Why did he purchase it?
He's eccentric.
Yep.
And he collects things. And for a while, he had used it as storage for his collection. But he always knew that the buildings had some type of purpose. He kind of just sat on them waiting for that purpose and inspiration to come to him.
And he actually was a member of the congregation there. Him and his kids all went to that church. So I think there was a certain sentimental value to buying it and just keeping it, just not letting it die.
Okay, so this is even more interesting to me then, because he was a member of the congregation, and at some point he or you guys or somebody realized there's some paranormal activity going on in there. So sort of...
He came on the first investigation.
And what did he think?
He's a big energy person. Like, I don't think... You won't catch him saying ghost or anything like that. But he believes in the flow of energy, the scientific version of, you know, matter can never be created or destroyed, or energy cannot be created or destroyed. So therefore, it has to go somewhere. And me and him have had hour-long conversations on this. And where does it go? How does it convert? Where, you know, what does it mean? And he's had enough experiences that he'll tell you, there's something coming through, or something is using that energy to help influence us or work with us or even communicate with us. But from where, who knows?
So when was the first time that you got in there and investigated it?
3 or 4 years?
No, more than that.
Four or five. No, it's not six.
Probably 5 years.
Oh, yeah, 4 or 5 years ago, we got in there for the first time. The team that we used to be on, actually, they had seen it, saw the property, were drawn to the property, and they basically set it up so that we all could go. And Steve and I went in on that first go-in, and that's when we met Joel. But then Steve and I ended up finding a passion and a love for the property. We've made so many connections with the building, with whatever is going on there, because it is definitely unique. And so when we decided to step away from our other team, we couldn't let go Jericho. That was just something we couldn't leave behind us. So we were able to just politely just ask if us and our team that we had formed could take over. And bless our old team's heart, they gave us the blessing to do so.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation about the Jericho Haunted Trinity with Kayla and Steve Gregory. For more information, just find them on Facebook. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, then become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.
Here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim, because this tax season, fraud paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.